Welcome to episode 414 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. And we are back after a small break for the July 4 holiday in the U.S.
You know, you called a small break, but it feels like it's been forever since we've done this show.
Well, and I think the other thing going is that you and I would also normally talk during the week for other things, and we kind of haven't.
No, I haven't talked to you in forever. Richard, I've needed you in my life, and you haven't been there.
Oh, sorry. You know, it's this life thing.
Yeah, and those holidays and families and all that fun stuff. So, but the world hasn't stopped in the world of Microsoft Entertainment Technology. In fact, all of you wonderful listeners have made sure that we've stayed on top of it. We heard from Alan, Nick, and Kevin, and maybe more of you, but I might have lost track, about a fairly big deal in an area that we used to cover like crazy, and that is Windows Media Center. Yep, Windows Media Center is back in the news this week. And unfortunately, as has been the case for a couple of years, all of our Windows Media Center news is bad news. So again, it's guide data issues. And if you remember way back in the Windows 8.1 to Windows 10 transition days, we said Windows Media Center will not be dead until the guide data stops working. As long as there's guide data, Windows Media Center is alive. It still works as long as you've got guide data, at least as a TV platform. Well, we may be in the midst of what I think might be the worst guide data outage we've ever seen, at least in the United States, Richard. It's been over 2 weeks now, I think, where guide data hasn't been updating basically at all. For a lot of people, that guide data, at least most of it, at least the important stuff, like the data for the HD channels, stopped working on or about July 4th. And that's almost a week ago as of us recording this. And the situation still isn't fixed. So I think by now, probably everybody in the United States is completely without guide data, except for maybe SD channels. And that's... Yikes. Pretty stinking terrible. So like if you've just been depending on your scheduled recordings and stuff, none of them are working because there's no guide data. The only way that your scheduled recordings would be working is if you scheduled them by channel number and time and not by like program name, which is how most people would do it, is by program name.
Yeah.
So this is really bad. And of course, the community members over at thegreenbutton.tv have been all over this. There's even been at least one person who's been in direct contact with Rovi, and maybe I should say TiVo, because TiVo, it's Rovi that bought TiVo or TiVo that bought Rovi?
It's TiVo was acquired by Rovi, but I think they ended up taking on the TiVo name for the company.
Yes, that's why I was confused about it, yes. So TiVo / Rovi is the guide data provider for Windows Media Center now and has been for almost 2 years now. And they're aware of the issue. They've been trying to figure it out. And so is Microsoft. There is at least one issue posted to Microsoft Connect. That's their like official support forum. And Microsoft definitely knows about this issue. But there hasn't been a fix from either company yet. It kind of looks like this might be on the Microsoft side, but I haven't dug deep enough into, you know, like looking at the file formats and stuff to know for sure. But there's definitely a lot of people looking at it, but they've been looking at it for like a week-ish now, at least. But, you know, some of that's over a holiday and stuff, and probably lots of people on vacation last week. And there's probably not a lot of people at Microsoft that still work on this. Like, no one is working on this as their primary job. So anybody right. who is left working on this is just doing it whenever it's necessary, which is usually not all that often. So
And what that means from a support perspective is that you generally are bringing people in to work on something that they have no real background or understanding of. And so getting it fixed is going to take longer because they have to ramp up on how this thing works.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's no fixed date insight from either Rovi or from Microsoft, but the community has come up with some, it's hard to call these fixes, they're workarounds. They're really workarounds because you have to do them multiple times, at least a couple of these. The first one that was proposed was that since there was still standard definition guide data, you could modify your guide to actually pull its data for the HD channels from the SD channel listings, because you normally have SD and HD versions of channels provided by your TV provider. This sounds like it works, but it also sounds like a lot of work to do.
Yeah, how many channels do you have on most right. cable systems with HD? And yeah, no.
Hundreds.
Yeah, well,
right.
And the other thing to consider is that if you have your recordings set to record in HD only, then that means that you would need to change your recordings as well to allow them to record in SD.
Well, no, I think the way that people were doing it, and I obviously didn't try this out. I'm not actually using Windows Media Center anymore, but it sounded like it was just a way to make the HD channels take the SD guide data without making it think that it's also SD. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, maybe. So that's one potential fix. There's another one that might actually be less work, but might take a little bit more time. The idea here is someone figured out that if you pick, so you have to go back through the TV setup stuff where you have to put in your zip code and all that stuff. If you pick a zip code that's in another state from you, so you have to look one up, it'll download the data just fine for that other state. This doesn't make any sense, Richard, but lots of people have reported this has worked. So hear me out on this one. So you pick a different state's data and let it download, give it like a half an hour, reboot, make sure everything is in there, and then go back through again, but this time pick your zip code. I think I'm stating how to do this correctly, and we've got links to all of this in the show notes here. Then pick your listings again, and it'll just work because it's getting the guide data. It's just not processing it correctly. But for some reason, if you pick another state's data, it kind of gets that data in a way that I really don't understand. Like, I'm a computer programmer and I don't understand how this works, but a bunch of people have said that it does work. So that's like, if you just want to stick with the TiVo / Rovi guide data, that's probably your best bet. A lot of people are saying that they're getting guide data through either the 18th or the 20th of July. So that's another, you know, week to 10 days. And you're probably going to have to do this again if this thing doesn't get fixed in that time period. So set yourself a reminder to, you know, come this weekend, do this again. Here's another option. We've mentioned this in the past. There's a program out there called EPG, like Electronic Program Guide, 123. Again, we'll have a link for this in the show notes too. This is a third-party app. Doesn't cost anything for this app, but what it does is it will pull data from Schedules Direct, which is using Zaptuit, which was the previous guide data provider for Windows Media Center, downloads all of the data from there, and then imports it into Windows Media Center for you. You're no longer using Windows Media Center's guide data retrieval stuff. It's a little bit of work to get it set up initially, but once you do, it looks like it's pretty solid. And a lot of people are using this opportunity to figure out how to set up EPG 123 and just switch to that. And then they kind of don't ever have to worry about these guide data issues from Microsoft ever affecting them again. This app is free, but the service isn't. You do need to subscribe to Schedules Direct. They have a 7-day free trial for you to try to get this all working and see if it works for you. And then after that, it's $25 a year. $25 a year isn't bad. It's certainly less than TiVo and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about the same price as HD Home Run DVR, which I know isn't done, and it's not completely, you know, it's not the same type of solution as Windows Media Center. But if all you're looking for is a TV solution, might not be a bad time to look at HD Home Run DVR either.
Yeah, of course, right now, that is still only going to be supporting unprotected channels. The intent is that it will also support your protected channels, but that's not there yet, right?
If I remember correctly, because we reported on this, gosh, at least a month ago, I think it does support protected channels now, but only on Windows, I think. Like maybe it was just Windows and Xbox or just Windows. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, but not on all the platforms. So anyway, right. Just know what you're getting into. And I immediately thought, oh, well, I'm glad I switched to Plex DVR as my primary way of recording shows, because I don't even rely on Media Center anymore to do my recordings. Of course, I have my own guide data issues with Plex DVR, but
right.
Plex DVR requires Plex Pass, which is what nowadays? Isn't that $60 a year or more, something like that?
I want to say it was $50 a year,
okay.
Or I don't know if the sale is still going on, but they had lifetime for 120, I believe, mm-hmm. but it's normally 150, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one more thing to remind everybody about Windows 7. It's stinking old, guys. Windows 7 came out in 2009. Mainstream support, meaning like all of your regular updates and fixes and stuff like that, mainstream support ended 2.5 years ago. At this point, you are only getting extended support for Microsoft, which means just critical security fixes. That's it. And that ends in January of 2020. So Microsoft, well, they actually are kind of obligated to fix this because Windows 8.1, I believe, is still under support. So, and Windows 8.1, you could get Windows Media Center by going through, you know, buying it for $10 and all of that stuff. But it's not going to be around forever, guys. So you might want to be looking at some other options.
And is it true, as in the past, that Xbox guide data has not been affected by this, even though, in theory, they get the same data now?
I haven't looked. I don't have my over-the-air tuner hooked up to the Xbox anymore.
I don't either.
I never use my Xbox for that, so I wouldn't even know. And I bet there are very few people that are getting TV guide data on their Xboxes in a way that they're actually using.
So. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
All right, so that's it for our bad news. We actually have one more Windows Media Center story here, and it's good news. So that is, remember pretty much our favorite all-time Windows Media Center plugin, Recorded TV HD? Well, it's basically been unsupported for a while now. The developer decided, you know, Windows Media Center not really being used a lot anymore, so he wasn't going to continue active development. Well, along came a slight problem. All of his data, or the app's data, I guess, is coming from TVDB. And back when he wrote this app, there was one version of the API that he used for that. Well, that version is being discontinued coming this fall. And so that's actually been causing some error messages inside of Recorded TV HD. Like, it's still working, but it's throwing error messages. So people posted in the forums and said, hey, any chance of you fixing this? And some people were super gracious and said, we know this is old. We know it's probably not being sold much anymore, but any chance of you fixing this? And then some people were like, we paid money for this. You have to fix this. It was like $10, guys, $15. Calm down. Well, Mark Terberg decided, yes, I'm going to fix this. He's working on a fix right now. In fact, he's already released a beta version of the fixed plugin. It's still got a little bit of issues, but he's working on them. He's responding to people in the forums, and I imagine there'll be a finalized fixed version released very soon. So again, link to that in the show notes for you guys to check out. But how about some good Windows Media Center news?
Yeah, this is good news. It's really exciting to see that he's keeping up with this. You know, when I read this thread, I was distracted by something that I can't let go. And that's there were one or two haters in this thread about how this product isn't being supported anymore, even though it is years and years old and is built to support a platform that Microsoft themselves isn't really supporting anymore. And the fact that Mark is jumping on this and going to try and get this working with an update, I think says so much about him. And it, you know, if anybody who's frustrated about this happens to be in this listening audience, I just hope you understand the effort that it takes to support these and the really, frankly, you know, the effort that Mark is putting into keeping it up to date on his own time. There's no reason that he really has to do this. He could have just said, well, you know, it's retired. I retired it years ago, and I'm so happy to see that he's continuing to support this. So let's please us give him our support for doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's stick with some video news here. Showtime. This is another one that I don't completely understand. So Showtime has a standalone version of Showtime. It used to be that you had to bundle Showtime into the cable subscription. Not anymore. You can just pay $10.99 a month, even if you don't have a paid TV subscription, and subscribe to Showtime. That's great. To do that, you needed a separate app. You couldn't use the Showtime Anytime app to watch that. There's now a new app for Showtime's standalone version of Showtime service, and it's available on the Xbox One. So it's two separate apps in the store. The Showtime Anytime app is also going to be getting an upgrade soon, but there you go. Now you're going to be able to watch just regular over-the-top Showtime on your Xbox One without having a cable TV subscription. It's good news. I just don't completely understand the implementation here. Do you, Richard?
No, and it's the same thing that HBO is doing. HBO has HBO Go for those people who have subscriptions, and they have HBO Now for people who do not and just want to buy it independently of their provider. And as best I can tell, the content is the same. The right. apps are nearly identical. So why they don't just build it in a way that they can kind of swap out the authentication module and right. have a different way of signing in and subscribing, I just don't understand. But, you know, they're following the same model. It's good to see that this is on the Xbox One. This app is on other platforms already, so this really just expands it and makes it now available to our listening audience on their Xboxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one final thing in video. I've talked about the Play On Cloud summer sale. That is still going on. So you can still, for just 20 cents an episode in bundles, starting with 100, I believe, get a package of recordings at 20 cents a piece and use them as you want for when whatever show you want to record through their cloud services. Now, I want to thank Roy, who wrote in to point out that he wasn't able to find where they had this special price. And in doing so, I discovered my error in stating that the new price was actually 25 cents when it wasn't on sale. It's going to be 40 cents a piece when it's not on sale. Still a significant reduction from the original $1. So this is pretty much half off of that price if you want to buy a bundle now.
Yeah, that's great news. And you know what? I'm not surprised that he wasn't able to find it, because it's really hard to find anything on PlayOn's website.
It is better than it was before, but yes, they have a history of having a website that tends to hide critical information.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I wasn't sure whether to put this next story in video or audio. So I'm glad that audio comes right after video in our normal program lineup, because this seems like audio news. We're talking Atmos here, right? And Atmos is audio. It's an audio format. It is a, it is the primary format out there for having basically more than just like a 7.1 or 7.2 setup where you can have speakers above you and projecting that sound down so that it sounds like you're hearing things from above you. They're not necessarily above you. Richard, you've got an Atmos setup and you've got the types of speakers that reflect the sound off the ceiling, right?
Right. They reflect from the front left and right channels off of the ceiling to, kind of do the same thing that a soundbar might with rear speakers.
Yeah, exactly. So Atmos is pretty stinking cool. And up until now, you've basically only really been able to experience Atmos either through Blu-ray or Vudu from a streaming service. But now Netflix is getting in on the game. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of this movie. Okja? I don't know. It's OKJA. Do you know how to pronounce it?
I don't. And I wanted to watch it this weekend. I did not get a chance to. I've been pronouncing it Okja. I think that is right. I watched the trailer for it, and I think that's how they were pronouncing it.
Okay. I would go with that over my guess any day of the week. So it's some movie about a super pig. I don't know. This doesn't sound super interesting to me, but whatever. It's Atmos.
No. You need to watch the trailer. You will want to watch the movie.
Really?
Yeah. It looks wonderful.
Okay. I guess I'll at least give the trailer a chance then. So here's the thing that's really interesting about this. If you want to watch Okja with Dolby Atmos in Netflix, there is only one way to do that currently, and that is with an Xbox One. That is the only app that supports Dolby Atmos right now. And, for full Dolby Atmos, you could also watch it with Dolby Atmos for headphones if you have the Dolby Access app installed on your Xbox and all that stuff too. So those are your options. But, if you've got a full Dolby Atmos setup at home, you've almost definitely got a Netflix subscription. Hopefully you've also got an Xbox One and you can check this out and have yet another movie to show off your amazing Dolby Atmos setup.
It's funny, over the weekend, I had some guests in town, and so I wanted to show off the surround sound system because I knew that they would be into that. And I ended up resorting to my Dolby, what was the app that you downloaded to get the Dolby add-in on the device? I ended up using just the sample videos that they had in that, which are pretty good because those are the things that the showrooms have been showing off for the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even think of just trying to play this to see if it would be a really good example of it. So I'm really looking forward to checking this out, both for the story and to see how it's implemented. Because the movies that I have, the discs that I have, some are hit or miss. Sometimes the Atmos is amazing, and sometimes I wonder, why did they bother?
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Especially when you spend as much money as you do to get Atmos.
Right, exactly.
That early adopter tax. Every time, Richard, every time.
And yet I still keep going. I think I waited a pretty long time for someone like me who does adopt things early.
That's true. Yeah, you did hold off for quite a while.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. All right, let's move on to some gaming news. Not a ton here, guys, so don't hit your snooze button already. Here's a cool little story. Mike Ibarra, one of the heads in the Xbox organization at Microsoft, someone tweeted at him saying, "Hey, when are we going to be able to gift games to people? When am I going to be able to buy a game on the Xbox store and give it to a friend? Because you can't do that." And Mike Capara said soon. Now, who the heck knows what soon actually means? In fact, the exact question was, how far off are we from getting the ability to gift a new purchase for a friend? And his exact answer was not far. I don't know what not far means, but the Xbox platform is iterating constantly. So if he's actually acknowledging this publicly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's available for insiders within a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's much faster than I would have thought. I'm thinking it means it's on their near to midterm roadmap and probably within the quarter or shortly thereafter.
Yeah. I think for public, like full regular release, it's going to be a couple of months, but yeah, I think that this is really soon if he's publicly acknowledging it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
It's great. All right. New games with gold. Cause I think this is the first episode we've recorded in the month of July. Yeah, it definitely is.
But we did talk about these. So what I really wanted to make sure we do is just let people know that stuff is ending soon, right? It's already mid-July. Can you believe it?
Oh my gosh. This year, man, this year. Yeah. So ending soon. And by soon, we mean Saturday, July 15th, which is probably this Saturday coming up while you're listening to this. On Xbox One, it's Watch Dogs. And on Xbox 360, it's Kane and Lynch 2. And then starting on Sunday, July 16th, you'll get Lego Pirates of the Caribbean on Xbox 360, which is all through July, through the end of July. And then Runbow is the other Xbox One game, and that'll be until mid-August. And then the other game that's still available on the Xbox One side is Grow Up. And again, all of these are playable on an Xbox One if you have an Xbox One, because the 360 games are all backwards compatible. And Richard, I even saw our friend Database Jace tweeting at you, telling you to pick up Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. And I'm sure you'll pick it up, but will you actually play it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I was just going to mention that, actually. He said that it's a lot of fun, and while it's available, I definitely need to get it. So I will indeed be downloading. Let's see if I get to actually play it sometime or not. Who knows? A couple of years from now, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like someday you'll be sick or something and be like, oh, there's nothing I can do. Maybe I'll play my Xbox.
Maybe. But I did actually pay some money for some games, because while we were, you know, just off doing our holiday break thing, we missed the ultimate game sale.
Well, I wouldn't say we missed it. Like,
yeah, we
I
didn't
took
necessarily
advantage
miss
of it.
And I paid money.
I'm shocked by this.
I took advantage of this for two things. One was an arcade pack that included Pac-Man, Dig Dug, and Galaga, because, I mean, come on. They were awesome. I used to play them all the time, and I don't yet have them on the Xbox One. And because you have basically been telling everybody that you know in the world that they need to buy Life is Strange, and it was only $5, I did.
Have you tried it?
No. I just bought it.
Okay.
I just bought it.
Well,
yeah.
You should actually try it, because like it's way easier than Ori and the Blind Forest.
Ah, well, that's probably good, because I'm kind of stalled right now on Ori.
I'm not surprised. That game gets hard. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. I'm glad to hear you purchase some games. I'll be even happier to hear that you've played them.
I'll let you know.
Okay. So another interesting and kind of somber mobile story this week. This comes to us from Therat.com. Paul Therat posted today that tomorrow is the end of mainstream support for the last really great version of Windows Phone. Windows Phone 8.1 that came out back on June 24th, 2014. Man, that long ago. And mainstream support ends July 11th, 2017. So that's it for any of you who are still using Windows Phone 8.1. Probably won't be seeing many updates or probably any updates except for security things after this week. So kind of sad. Like I almost, you know, if we were the, you know, the morning zoo kind of show here, we would play Taps or something for Windows Phone 8.1.
Yeah, we won't do that. It's no. Funny. I kind of had that going on in my head right now. You know, the thing that is interesting about this, I think you have to put a lot of qualifiers on this, right? I mean, Windows Mobile as an operating system, the mobile version of Windows 10 still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as we know, it still lives on. And it will continue as long as they decide that it will. But remember, that doesn't work on these old Windows Phone 8.1 devices. And
right.
So this is really the end of life, not just for an operating system, but for devices that are unable to support the next gen. And we've seen this before with Windows Phone. This mm-hmm. happened with Windows Phone System 7 version 7 system.
Right. And then Windows Phone 7.8, and then Windows Phone 8, and then 8.1, and then 10, and yeah. Yep.
And, you know, he also referred to this as the last great version of Windows Mobile. I think that's deserving of a couple qualifiers too, right? I mean, technically, Windows 10 that runs on the newer devices is much more a part of the One Windows vision, whereas Windows Phone 8.1 was specifically a phone operating system that was designed for and optimized for a phone device, a small device. And so I think what he's suggesting is that the One Windows version gives you a somewhat less optimal experience on all of the different platforms. But also, you may remember Windows 10 kind of took away some features that we had in Windows Phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't disagree with him that this was the last great version of Windows Phone, Windows Mobile, whatever you want to call it. Windows Phone 10 really wasn't ever that great, and it was never all that stable. So yeah, I agree with him. So he did kind of highlight some of the new features that came in Windows Phone 8.1. I want to point out just a few of these because these were kind of big deals. Action Center, and like a lot of these were new things in Windows Phone 8.1 before Windows 10 existed. And a lot of these features ended up in Windows 10 after debuting in Windows Phone 8.1. So that's how big and important some of these were. Action Center, Cortana, Internet Explorer 11 was a fairly big deal on the phone. It was a really great browser on the phone. Well, and the desktop too. But, and Miracast support, like, you know, the ability to cast to another display.
You just ruined it. That's where Miracast, I go, wah.
Miracast was, when it worked, it was nice. It didn't always work though. But the idea was cool. You know, so there were some cool big features there. And then the Photos Hub was still around, but received some changes. And then, but this was also the version where things really started to move away from what Windows Phone 7 gave us. You know, when Windows Phone 7 came out, one of the things that we loved was that instead of it being a mobile operating system that was focused on all of these individual apps that, you know, into this app and then out and into this other app and out. And instead it was focused on, you know, what are the things that you're actually doing and how can we make it so that all of those things work easily together? So the Photos Hub was there and tied in with Flickr and, you know, and other photo services. And then there was the Zune Hub, which had all of your music and your videos and your podcast and like all of that stuff just in one place, plus other music apps could tie into that. But it, as cool and as useful and as functional as it was, that feature never really took off with third-party apps. So Microsoft started to abandon it themselves, and they did it with all of their multimedia apps. So the Zune Hub left, everything got replaced to Xbox Music, Xbox Video. They made their own podcast app, which was terrible. They had a standalone FM radio app. And like, and when I look at this, I'm shocked. It's only been 3 years, but in 3 years, they've changed the names of some of these apps twice, because we went from Zune to Xbox Music to now Groove Music. And we went from, I guess, Zune Video to Xbox Video to now just movies and TV. And now there's kind of nothing for podcast. Maybe the podcast app still exists, but it's terrible. So, yeah.
That's Microsoft marketing for you.
Right. We'll just keep trying new names until it works, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. It's really a shame.
Yeah,
so much of what was in there had so much potential, and I don't know that we'll ever really fully understand why this didn't take off the way that it could. Yeah, you know, everybody knows that I have very strong opinions why Windows on tablet as mobile is not taking off the way they hoped it would. I have no real thoughts or opinions or theories on why it hasn't worked on phone the way they had hoped.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, Windows Phone 8.1. We'll miss you a little. All right. Well, while the Windows Phone 8.1 podcast app might have been terrible, at least it was a way to listen to podcasts like this one. And if you're listening to this and you're not subscribing, well, first off, we hope you'll subscribe. Wherever you're listening and finding your podcast, we're there. Click the subscribe button so you don't miss any more episodes. And if you've already subscribed, then the other thing you could do for us is tell a friend. Tell someone else about Entertainment 2.0 over Twitter, over Facebook, face-to-face, whatever works for you. Just share it with a friend, and we'd really, really appreciate that. All right, let's move on to our last bit of news for the week, and this is some industry news, more of a kind of cord-cutting industry news. PlayStation View is one of these online TV video provider things, sort of like Sling TV and, you know, all of these other guys, but from Sony, debuted last year sometime and has had a pretty compelling offering. They had a package that included local stations and lots of traditional pay TV channels. And the cheapest offering started at $30 a month. If you paid $30 a month, you got their slim bundle. It did not include locals. It just included some of the other pay TV channels. Well, now PlayStation View is dropping that slim package. You can't get it. If you're a new subscriber, the cheapest option now starts at $40. That actually puts them at twice the cost of the cheapest Sling TV package. I think it does include more channels, but it's still twice the cost of it. If you're a current subscriber of one of these PlayStation View Slim packages, you will get to keep your rate for 3 months. And then it's going up. It'll go up by 10 bucks or however, whatever the difference is between what it was for the, because this got kind of weird. There was the standard slim or whatever, which was 30, but then they have other levels that also had slim versions that didn't include locals. So all of these are going up in price. If you're already a subscriber, you'll just get to, you know, keep your rate for 3 months. So I'm not really sure what to say about this. Like, it kind of stinks because if you're a cord cutter, you're probably looking at these services thinking, I only want this for the things that I can't get locally over the air for free. I don't want to pay for those things. And now you're going to have to pay roughly 10 bucks, depending on the package, to get channels that you can already get for free.
Well, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I mean, we're assuming, because we know that we have many people in our audience that don't mind the hassle of setting up an antenna and having a tuner that allows them to get this content or putting that into their TV somehow. Maybe what they found is that there just wasn't enough interest in these lower rate tiers to warrant the difference in licensing that they're probably having to pay for the different tiers.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. So maybe that is it. Maybe it's just simple business case around usage stats. So that would make a lot of sense. That's maybe a brighter way of looking at this story.
Well, who knows? I know that I'm still on the all the cords subscription plan. So this doesn't apply to me.
So speaking of all of the cords in your entertainment center, what are you using all of those cords for in your entertainment center, Richard?
Well, I haven't made any configuration or hardware changes in my entertainment center in the last couple of weeks. But, 2 weeks have gone by. I've been watching a good amount of television. We've had some guests that we were entertaining. So just keeping up with the shows that I normally have, Nashville, Orphan Black, Gilmore Girls, really, like I said before, Orphan Black was hard to get into this season. It was really complicated. I am really into it now. I'm loving this season. This is a reminder, the last season. I got back to Luke Cage, as I had mentioned previously, and am trying to finish that season up. We finished Sleepy Hollow, so the fourth and final season of that completed, and we had recorded it all but not watched it. So we finished that now, and that had a nice, tidy ending. I think they realized they didn't know if they were going to get renewed or not, and so I'm glad that they wrote it in a way that accommodated the fact they might not, because they didn't. And the Doctor Who season 10 finale was pretty recently aired, and we watched that as well. And all I have to say is goodbye, Peter Capaldi. I think you're probably going to be back in the Christmas episode, but I'm thinking and hoping that's it, because it's time for a new Doctor. We really need a new Doctor. I started watching House of Cards season 4. I think I told you I'd never watched season 4. And now that season 5's out, I feel like I'm way behind. So started watching that. And so far, I like that a lot more than what I was seeing in season 3. Or at least, I think the problem with season 3 was that season 3 ended with such a whimper.
Right.
Because if you didn't know how the season was going to play out, like what? And now right. I feel in season 4 like it's back to what it's good at, which is kind of a decent amount of shock value. And you did watch season 4, didn't you?
No. Season 4 is the newest one, right?
No, season 5 is the newest one.
Oh, then yes. I'm pretty sure I did watch season 4.
Okay.
And like I'm sure you remember when this show first came out, I was in love with this show.
Yeah.
And season 2 came out and I still loved this show. And then season 3 came out and I was like, ugh. It was just not a good season. So yeah, I have not rushed to watch season 4, but I have been hearing really good things about it.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Or 5 or whatever. Now I can't even keep them all straight anymore.
So I want to get through that so that I can be up to date and start watching season 5 again. I mentioned before that Big Brother has started, and of course that's 3 nights a week, and I've been keeping up with that because it is my guilty pleasure. I do enjoy it, but oh man, speaking of last year's most annoying player is back in the house and being as annoying as ever, and it's kind of making me crazy. I'm really frustrated by that because that's what CBS likes to do. Let's bring somebody back that we know is going to stir the pot. That'll be fun. And watch some movies. These are so grossly unrelated to each other. You'll wonder why these 3 movies. But we watched Herbie Fully Loaded. Never saw it before. And it was on TV. So we watched it. 300 Rise of an Empire. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the 300 movies. This is the second. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see this, what's interesting about this is this happens in roughly the same time frame as 300. So it's kind of like a parallel story to what's happening in the 300. And that's kind of intriguing the way they do that. Plus, It has Eva Green in it. She starred in Penny Dreadful, and she is one amazing actress. So I really wanted to go back and watch this because I had missed it when it was out, and it's a good movie. I think it was better than The 300, actually. So much blood. So if that bothers you, don't watch it.
Right. It is The 300, after all.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to look up who Eva Green is because you just referenced a show that I also haven't watched. So,
Penny Dreadful is so good. Okay, so also I mentioned that we had watched The Sword in the Stone a couple weeks ago, and we had the kids again, so we watched it again because they wanted to watch it again, because that's what you do when you like a movie.
Mm-hmm. And that's kids.
Yeah, yeah. And one more thing that I've been watching, but I keep forgetting to mention it because it's just kind of one of these side things. But if you like news commentary satire, I can't even think of any of them now, but there were many shows on, most of them aren't on anymore. And the new one of kind of that's in the light these days is Last Week Tonight. It's on HBO, and it is a very in-depth, acerbic, yet funny dive into whatever's going on, usually in politics or the economy. And of course, there's been lots to talk about over the last 6 months. So he's really been diving in there. But don't think that this is someone who is just simply bashing a conservative agenda, because he has a history of kind of just diving into whatever's going on and ripping it apart. And it's very, very entertaining. And they do their research. And something that I thought was really intriguing is they just recently ran a story about the coal industry. And before they ran it, one of the coal companies that they were going to talk about sent them a cease and desist letter and threatened to sue them if they mentioned the company or in any way painted them in a bad light. And they did so much research and were so sure of the story that they were running, which believe me, could only paint this company badly, that they ran it and they got sued, and HBO is standing behind it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I get such a kick out of this, and I really like these things where you're not just in a monologue and mouthing off about something without any real knowledge of it. This is a team that does serious investigation and then turns it out in a very entertaining and educational way.
Cool. Very cool.
How about you? What have you been doing in your entertainment center, Josh?
I watched a movie in our entertainment center.
No.
I did. It was on the 4th of July. The kids went and stayed with Grandma and Grandpa for the night. So we thought, let's watch a movie because, like, we're way too tired from swimming all day to actually go and do something with our free night. So let's watch a movie where we can watch it as loud as we want because we're not going to wake up any kids. So we looked for a more action-oriented movie. And what we ended up choosing was The Great Wall, which probably a lot of people may not have even heard of, but it is what I think is Matt Damon's latest movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he's released one since then. It was okay. It's not the greatest movie. We knew it wouldn't be the greatest movie going into that, but I guess we kind of known for watching action movies that aren't necessarily the greatest movies, like, I don't know, The Fast and the Furious, maybe, and still enjoying them. So it was good. And like, a lot of people were like, how could you cast this white guy for a movie that is all about China and takes place in China? Well, he's not cast as a Chinese guy, at least. Like, that's a lot of what Hollywood likes to do is, oh, we'll just cast this white person for a role that doesn't even make sense for him. But his character is a guy from the West going to China to try to trade or steal black powder. So it kind of makes sense. And when he gets there, he finds that China's under attack by kind of monsters. It's sort of an interesting action-y, monster-y movie. And it's okay. Like, the action is good. The cinematography is actually really, really nice. The colors and the costumes and all of that really stands out. And I enjoyed it. Like, it certainly wasn't a waste of our time. It was a fun movie to watch, but it's not going to go down on anybody's, like, crazed of all time list.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. So that's it for that. I have started some other games. So I signed up for a service called PlayStation Now. This is a streaming gaming service from Sony that allows you to stream Sony PlayStation games. And it works on PlayStation 3 or 4, which I don't have, or it works on a Windows PC. And miraculously, you aren't required to use a PlayStation controller, which is good because I don't have one. So I signed up for PlayStation Now, well, for the trial, the 7-day trial, to play a PlayStation exclusive from the PlayStation 3 era called Journey. And I played it with an Xbox One controller on my Windows 10 PC. And it was really cool. The service worked out pretty well. My only major gripe with the service is that it can be kind of hard to find the games that you might want to play, because there's over 400 games available in the service, and they're not categorized all that well. So you kind of have to know what you're looking for, actually, which is kind of dumb. But, you know, once you find what you want, it spins up fairly quickly. Like I said, the whole thing is streaming. You don't have to wait for a download or anything like that. So, you know, that has its pluses and minuses, but it worked out fine for me. And Journey is only a 2-hour game, full whole game from start to finish, 2 hours. And I didn't have any hiccups at all, and really, really enjoyed the game. So that was cool. Also have continued to play a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I am just in love with that game, having an absolute blast with it. And then I also picked up Mass Effect Andromeda, finally picked that one up. I got it on sale for about $30 at Best Buy. And then, of course, since then, it dropped down to like $20 on Amazon, but that's okay. And started that this week. I'm only 2 hours in. It's like a 15 to 20 hour game, so I've got plenty to go here, and I'll be probably, unfortunately, playing through it a little bit slowly, because life. One other request for all of you fans out there of our gaming coverage. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you directly. And to do that, I need you to contact me, because I don't necessarily know who you are. But I've got some ideas, some things I want to do, and I want to hear from our gaming fans. So if you're a big fan of our gaming coverage, I want you to email me, josh@thedigitalmediazone.com, or direct message me at Josh Pollard on Twitter. You can direct message me. Even if I'm not following you, it's open. Just do it. I want to hear from you. I want to toss some ideas past you guys and find out what you guys think of our coverage and some other ideas that we've got. So do that, please. I'd really, really appreciate that. And that's it for me, Richard. That's all I've got going on in my entertainment center.
More than usual, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's just because it's been 2 weeks. I mean, I still only watched one thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But you've been playing a lot of stuff, and I've been seeing your announcements, letting people know, hey, I'm going to be playing such and such. And I think to myself, oh, that's nice. Okay.
I've been having a lot of fun streaming games. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully people have had some fun watching them, because a lot of times I'll get two or three other dudes playing with me, and we've got the 4-player co-stream thing going on, and it's a lot of fun. So people should follow me on Twitter so they know for sure when I'm doing that. And if they want to do that, they can follow me at Josh Pollard. If they want to follow Richard the Not Gamer, he's at Richard Gunther. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. And Richard, you've got another podcast that you do called Home On, covering home automation and control. What's going on with Home On?
I do, and I am at work on getting this next special episode together. So The episode that is coming up is going to be about the Connected Kitchen, and I have interviews from a bunch of different people, and I've been working on kind of blending them together into a story, very much like when we visited the store Beta in Palo Alto and talked with a number of people about retail. So I expect to have that out in the next week or two. It's just taking a little bit longer than I would normally put into an episode because of the complexity of pulling it all together.
Absolutely. All right. And then just a quick reminder that we do broadcast the show live. It's usually on Tuesday nights. Usually. It's not this week. We surprised everybody, including ourselves, decided to do it on Monday this week. But it's normally Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can find that on the DMZ, or you can follow Entertainment 2.0 on Mixer.com, because that's what we're using for the live stream. But that's going to do it for episode 414. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.